Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In Houston, you can visit what I think is the most desolate, fatalistic, and dark sacred structure possibly ever built. The famous Rothko Chapel, designed and including paintings by Mark Rothko, the famous 20th century artist. From the outside, it is a hulking metal building, the color of rust, and when you go inside, it is all hard surfaces and sharp angles. It is all cement with no adornment whatsoever. And the central room features enormous canvases all around you, stretching from floor to ceiling, painted in dark hues of black and purple. It is not a place that lends itself to worship, to joy. As I said, it feels like a space of desolation. I don't like going to the Rothko Chapel. I'd much rather go to St. Thomas University there and see the beautiful chapel on that campus. White marble, gold. And so I don't visit the Rothko Chapel. But Good Friday, if there were a day, that would be the day. Because Good Friday is the day in the church year when we are forced to look upon that which we would rather not look. We are forced to see our God crucified, hanging on a cross. Why? Why do we do this? In many traditions that don't observe Holy Week with the rigor that we do in our tradition, it's church service, church service, church service, church service, Easter, church service, church service, church service. That's how it goes. But we enter into these events. We look at this thing which we would rather not see. And we call it good. Good Friday is the day in the church year when we see God in the spaces of our lives that to us feel like total desolation. Jesus Christ, in his flesh, in his person, in his body, identifies with every dark corner in human experience. It says in the Isaiah reading, he is numbered with the transgressors. That means all of us. In the Hebrews reading, it says he was tempted in every way. Every temptation you have felt, he has as well. But it's deeper than that. He identifies in his own body, in his own experience, in his own psyche, with the soul-crushing loneliness that we feel. Ever had your heart broken? Ever had a relationship in which you had placed all your emotional energy go south? Jesus is betrayed by those closest to him, defiantly and publicly so. Ever felt abandoned? Did you grow up in a family that didn't have time or room for you and what you were trying to say and what you were experiencing? Jesus is abandoned. Have you ever been on the margins of culture and society, stripped of your rights? Jesus is there. Jesus is with the prisoners. Jesus is with those who are innocent and yet accused of a crime and then torn up by the wheels of so-called justice. Jesus is an outcast. Jesus enters into physical pain. It's just one short sentence in John's gospel. Pilate had him flogged. That short sentence, quick for us to read, likely felt like an eternity to the Lord as he was brutally whipped over and over. Have you ever felt marginalized, diminished, mocked, slandered? Things said about you that you know are not true, and your reputation dragged through the mud. The soldiers mock Jesus, publicly humiliate him. Jesus enters into humiliation and public scorn. There is so much disappointment in life. There is so much failure. There are so many things that just don't go the way you planned. So many dreams dashed in pieces on the ground. So many relationships that didn't do what they were supposed to do. So many careers that didn't quite follow the trajectory you had mapped out. Mental illness, physical illness, dysfunctional families, so much pain. And most of life is spent in denial, which is why we would rather pole vault over Good Friday to just get straight to Easter. But Good Friday holds up that which we would rather not see. The brokenness in our own lives, the incredible brokenness, violence, and destruction and injustice in the world. And says, look. And God enters into all of it in his own Son, Jesus Christ. And finally, amidst this suffering and the total devastation of human experience that Jesus enters into, he faces the final tragedy, the final indignity, that huge problem that looms before each one of us, the reality of death and loss. That is the big human question. Why do we die? What happens after death? The uncertainty, the unknown. And Jesus willingly, incredibly, walks toward it when we always run away. Good Friday is a hard day to preach. I want to give you good news. And you know it's there. But on this day, we don't jump ahead. We acknowledge the reality that in our devastation, in our burdens that are too heavy for us to bear, in our loss, in our physical pain, in our mental anguish, in our own failures, in the wreckage of the dreams of our own lives, what Good Friday says to us is that in those spaces, mysteriously, when we feel abandoned, what Good Friday says is that even there, God is present. In your most devastated, abandoned, derelict moment, Christ is present. Not standing over you, wondering how you got into that ditch, but is present alongside it, embracing suffering, abandonment, paralysis, anxiety, humiliation, and ultimately death. He is with you in all of that. the reason we take time on Good Friday to look long and hard at the events of Christ's crucifixion is that we might know that in our own lives, where we feel most profoundly the absence of God, that is actually where He is doing His most important and most profound work. In the moments in our lives when we feel most abandoned and farthest away from God, that is where He is doing His most profound work. Amen.